Hallo en welkom by Tunes Live, 'n string geselsies wat ek voer met plaaslike musisi en plaaslike musiekindustrie rolspelers. Ek is Jean Marais en Tunes Studio is 'n rehearsalspace in Stellenbosch wat dienste bied soos rehearsalspace, recording, live sound, retail musiekprodukte sowel as CDs, local CDs let wel en musieklesse. Ons praat ook vandag 'n bietjie meer oor die musieklesse want ons gesels 'n bietjie oor Notes Music School wat 'n vertakking van Tune Studio is wat lesse, musieklesse aanbied by Paul Bothner Stellenbosch. En die rede hoekom ons daaroor praat is Rory Skinner is op die show. Hy is die gitarist van Nebula Disrupt. En ons praat ook oor sy ander musiek endeavors wat hy doen. Hy speel ook in ander projekte. Elk geval ons gesels ook met Rory oor hoe hy sy lesse aanbied by Notes Music School en wat als daar gebeur. En Rory is 'n interessante karakter want hy is die tweede in bevel, so to speak, by Tune Studio. En ons praat ook 'n bietjie oor hoe hierdie hoe dit so geleidelik vanselfsprekend gebeur het dat hy begin werk het by Tune Studio. Dan wil ek julle net gou inlig, daar's 'n paar exciting gigs wat opkom. Die eerste van hulle is die 3de en 4de November, Vrydag en Saterdag, is die Endless Days Festival by Silverstroom Resort. Daar's 'n hele paar exciting bands wat daar speel, Medicine Boy, The Tasers, Ezron Chetty is daar. Gaan kyk die line-up, daar's regtig 'n paar uitstekende bands wat speel en alhoewel dit 'n psych rock gefokuste festival is daar ook ander vertakkings van rock wat jy daar gaan kan raakloop. Die opwindende nuus wat ek julle wil meedeel van die festival en van my is dat ek was baie bevoorreg om 'n media pass te kry vir hierdie festival. So, wat beteken dit? Dit beteken, ek gaan met 'n klomp verskriklike interessante mense gaan chat daarso, en ek gaan dit na julle ore toe bring. Dit is die bevokste ding van het als. Ek gaan vir julle belangrike en minder belangrike en great oomblikke en minder great oomblikke gaan ek vir julle bring live van Endless Days Festival af. Dis iets wat julle kan uitsien, daar gaan 'n hele paar exciting episodes daar uitkom. Die ander twee gigs is hierdie Vrydag, actually ek het dit 'n bietjie vooruit geloop om eers van Endless Days te praat. Hierdie Vrydag is daar Black Pistol en Stoker by Ice and Spades in die Kaap. Dit word gereël deur Kill City Blues en hulle noem dit Friday Night Live. Black Pistol en Stoker hierdie Vrydag aand, dit is die 27ste Oktober, as ek die datum korrek het. En ja, die datum is korrek. Dan die 17de November, ook 'n Vrydag aand natuurlik, soos die naam suggest, is Ria Nieuwenhuis in die Collaborator Tour by Ice and Spades. Dit is die projek waarmee ek saam bevoorreg was om saam mee te kon toer op die koppie toe. Ek het nou weer eens myself vooruit geloop, want ek moes vir julle vertel dat Black Pistol, die rede hoekom ek by hierdie gig gaan wees in Houtstraat, in die stad, Vrydag aand wat kom, is omdat Black Pistol het vir my gebruik vir hulle EP recording en so paar gigs as in 'n freelance kapasiteit. Hulle, is ek bly om aan te kondig, het nou 'n drummer gekry, ek is baie bly vir hulle. Maar in die tydjie wat hulle begin het en niemand gehad het nie, het ek hulle bygestaan. En dit sal nou soort van die laaste gig wees wat ek saam met hulle doen. So sien uit daarna en asseblief kry julle kaartjies vir Endless Days Festival. Dit is die kaartjiepryse is baie bekostigbaar as 'n mens kyk na die hoeveelheid musiek wat vir jou opgedis word. Hierdie mense werk hard om Suid-Afrikaanse music te push. So asseblief as jy enigszins dink dat dit jou cup of tea is, moenie huiwer nie. Jy gaan dit geniet, dit is 'n awesome festival, ek was nog nie daar nie, dit is die tweede keer wat hulle dit hou, maar soos wat ek verstaan, is dit 'n baie music loving, baie lekker crowd, wat by die festival uithang, so, So, ja, geen verskonings nie. Ons sien julle by Endless Days. Voordat ons verder gaan met die show, moet ons net natuurlik een van ons groot supporters noem en 'n shout-out gee vir hulle. Dis natuurlik die EMDC Stellies. Hulle is 'n kollektief wat weekliks by mekaar kom in Stellenbosch om musiekonderwerpe te bespreek. Hulle doen gereeld of onder andere, albumgenre en kunstenaarbesprekings met dikwels quiz en movie nights tussenin gegooi. Vergaderings is gratis en geen instrumentale vermoë is nodig of kennis van die onderwerp is nodig om deel te neem aan die vergaderings nie. Vind gerus meer uit oor die EMDC Stellies. So as jy in die search bar van Facebook dit intik, sal jy intik EMDC Stellies, STELLIES, en dan stuur jy vir hulle 'n friend request. Dit is 'n profile, nie 'n page wat jy gaan like nie. So jy gaan na daai profile toe, jy friend request hulle, en dan kan jy op die trein klim en meer uitvind oor die EMDC Stellies en hulle doen en later. So gaan sluit gerus daaraan as jy like-minded music loving people wil ontmoet. Dit is definitief 'n great platform om breinstimulasie te kry en net meer uit te vind oor musiek en met mense te connect. Right, so, ja, Rory is die eerste metal muzikant op hierdie show. Hy, soos ek genoem het, is die gitarist van Nebula Disrupt, so gaan check gerus hierdie band uit, as jy hou van extreme metal music. Great band, hulle het 'n EP onlangs uit, en ons praat 'n bietjie oor hulle suksesse met hierdie EP, en ons praat ook met Rory oor 'n theme wat al van tevore opgekom het in hierdie show, is, of hy gevoel het dat die hoeveelheid werk wat hy ingeschooi het in die EP, of hy voel dat dit afbetaal het. Hy het 'n baie interessante viewpoint daarop gegee, en ja, julle sal ook net om bietjie te backtrack, sal julle bietjie meer van sy persoonlikheid leer ken en uitvind hoekom is hy so 'n staatmaker, soos wat hy vir my is, en vir baie ander mense is, maar nou spesifiek omdat hierdie podcast se naam Tunes Live is. Ja, sal ons uitvind hoekom hy so 'n staatmaker is en 'n goeie werknemer is en net 'n goeie musikant en 'n goeie allround goeie mens en 'n lekker vriend. Righto, laat julle verder luister.
Hey Rory.
Yes, what's up, what's up?
Lekker man. So tell me a bit, if we just delve into history now, where are you from?
Well, I was born here in Stellenbosch.
Okay.
Yeah, just stayed for like a year. Then we moved to Namibia in Oranjemund.
Why did you guys move?
It was my dad's job.
Okay. Like, you know. And then you stayed in Namibia your whole school career?
Yeah, well, I was doing primary school there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no high school there, so...
That's not in Oranjemund.
Yeah.
Okay. Where more or less in Namibia is Oranjemund?
Oranjemund's like right at the bottom, at the border.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's a closed town, so...
Okay. So it's close to the South African border.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay, cool. Sorry, you were still saying something? Oh, there's no high school, yeah?
Yeah, so I went to Paul Boisei.
Okay. Yeah. And your parents still stayed in Namibia?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're clapping courses vibes?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and then after that, let's pause first. Tell me about music in school. Where did your journey with music start? Like, what was your first kind of musical awakening, if I can use a cliche like that?
Okay, well, I was always into music, you know, like, mm-hmm. I mean, listened like all the stuff my dad listened to basically when I was really young.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, high school, I was all that old school rock, 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I heard Metallica, Seek and Destroy.
Nice.
That's when I was like, yeah, I'm going to play guitar. Right? Like, sick riff.
Yeah.
So that was when I really wanted to actually play guitar. That's, I think it was
what
like
age?
16.
Okay.
Grade 10.
Yeah. So you only started playing at 16?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Like, I'd done a little bit of I could play a few chords on acoustic, you know.
Yeah.
But I never really... I didn't know I wanted to do it, you know, so I never really tried.
Oh, yeah, so, okay. That. But this is now interesting for me, because, maybe there's going to be people listening to this that don't know you or that haven't watched you live or haven't heard you play. But
okay,
I mean, as far as playing goes, you are pretty much accomplished. And it's interesting that you only started at 16, because people that play like you, it started like at a young age. So where did you really bank on exercise, and in what period? Like,
that was like very close to when I started.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 2-3 months in,
mm-hmm,
I heard Yngwie Malmsteen.
Ah.
You know, and I was sold, like, that dude solos, you
and
know?
You wanted like, to do that.
Like, yeah, I was like, this is what I'm doing. You
wanted to reach that
like,
speed.
Just shred.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
okay, so you kind of, that was where you really did like a lot of exercises, where like the foundation of
yeah, I just started practicing, like literally just exercise, you know?
And how many hours a day?
Well, this was still in high school, mm-hmm, so I mean, you know, in the breaks and like literally whenever.
Is it?
After school.
Okay, so you were pretty much that kid when you like, whenever there was a moment where you didn't have any obligations, you would pick up your guitar.
Yeah, man, as much as you can. You know, like,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And tell me, did you jam with any cats in school? Did you have any bands, any jams?
It was not really bands. You know, like a few guys here and there you just like play with.
Who were these guys?
The first guy I ever started was with a jock. He was just a guy in my hostel.
Okay.
You know, so we used to play like Metallica and like AC/DC and...
Nice, just the two guitar players.
Yeah, that's what we had, you know.
Mm.
Any
other people that you jammed with in hostel or in school?
It's like one or two guys in school, just like randomly.
Yeah.
You know, like here and there, maybe you try to play with the drummer if you can.
Mm. Mm.
You know, but nothing, no bands really came of that. Mm. You know, I was still obviously new. I need a lot more practice, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm just thinking of something else, kind of going ahead of the conversation, but yeah, we'll get to that now. But just to get a foundation, did you, my school band Antipathy played Onere Kopi, Paul Boyseye, Battle of the Band. Did you actually watch that gig?
I saw that. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Like, so far back.
Yeah, you know, like, and now we're sitting here and, like, we're operating together and,
yeah, crazy.
Yeah, very interesting. So, another thing, okay, well, that's school jams as far as that goes. But varsity, did you tell me a little bit your jams in varsity? Who did you jam with? Did you have any bands in varsity?
Well, I think it was maybe like a year, or like in that first year of starting varsity, I think, when there was the guys from Nebula, or it was just two guys at that time, the drummer and guitarist.
Dean and Stefan.
Dean and Stefan, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So you already met up with them in varsity.
Yeah.
This was now between 26 and 28. No, 27 and 29. You're a year
somewhere
younger
on
than
there.
Me.
Cool.
What
was it then? Yeah. Or 28 to 2009.
Let's say around there. Okay.
Well, actually, like Dean was in my high school.
Okay.
But we didn't know each other then.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, then somewhere in that time, he just messaged me. He's like, yo, they need a guitarist, you know?
Nice.
And I was like, yo, this is like...
This is the calling.
Yeah. You know, they're playing like some really fast heavy metal, you know?
Nice.
Like, so...
Nice. Okay, cool, nice. So I learned something there. I didn't know that Nebula started when you were in varsity already. Because if I backtrack now, the first time I became aware of Nebula Disrupt, which is for the listeners, is I'm not gonna genre categorize it because I'm gonna ask you to do it. But it's a really, really loud extreme metal band that Rory plays in. That rehearses at June Studio. So just a little bit of backstory for the listener. So what can you categorize Nebula Disrupt's music as?
Well, I would just... To me, it's like black death metal.
Okay.
Pretty much mixed between those two.
A hybrid between black and death metal.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Okay, so you're not one of those bands that like creates a different genre.
Some weird genre. No, like,
there's some really odd genre categories.
Yeah, right, like
Like, can you think of any, like, just
some weird stuff?
Yeah, like a weird genre
of metal.
Yeah, yeah.
Like porno grind or something. Like,
serious? I think it's really stupid about it. What is that about? Like,
no, I'm not really sure. I just checked this name, you know, and like, there's probably quite a few bands now. You know, categorizing them under that name.
Yes, yes. So. But you told me the other day about a band, and also again, maybe going ahead of the conversation, but you told me about a band, Volvedinia, and you told me that they've got quite a weird genre going. What's that again?
No, they're doing slam.
Slam?
Yes.
Well, describe that a little bit.
Like, I'm not really sure how to describe that. It's kind of like...
kind of like deathcore?
A form of... death metal, deathcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slow breakdown.
It's slower. Slow. Yeah, a lot of breakdown kind of stuff.
Okay. Okay, cool. Is there electronics in it or not really?
I don't really listen to like that genre really. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Okay. But yeah,
it's pretty much just like heavy, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. Heavy guitars, deep.
Deep.
Low tuning.
Low tuning.
Yeah, you know.
Always when I hear the word low tuning, I always think about, I once long ago saw a Sepultura documentary and Max Cavalera said, you don't need to tune low to be heavy, man.
Yeah, they're like...
He's educating these youngsters, tuning their guitars so deep. Low and like slop snorter, you can't even hear what's going on there. Sure.
Just
like...
Just string slapping.
Yeah, hitting the frets. All right, cool, man. It's a bit of a sidetracking, but back to Nebula. I became aware of Nebula Disrupt in 2011. Weird story. I think we spoke about it the other day. The guy I started tunes with, Hartwig, you can probably still remember.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, Hartwig Holzhausen. He started tunes with me back in 2010. So he was on duty 2011, one night, I think it was around winter or maybe a bit later in the year. But then, yeah, he was on duty. And Dean and Stefan, I'm not sure if you were with that time, but Dean and Stefan was definitely involved. They were driving around in Plankenbrug, where Tunes is, and they were looking for Tunes.
Yeah.
And they happened to have all the gear in the car, but they didn't have a rehearsal booked. And then they just rocked up there and they found Tunes, and Hartwig was super nice. And he was like, cool guys, but I'm actually going home now, but there's an opening so you guys can rehearse. And they just... there and then offload their gear and they just start rehearsing. I've never heard of something like that. You know, driving around looking for the studio and I'm in the studio and rehearsing there. Anyway, just a trivial backstory.
That's kind of a cool way to find it.
Anyway, so it's 2011, you guys started rehearsing there. So then one of the first questions that rose to my mind is, what did you think of Tunes the first time you got there? Like this weird little rehearsal space with a box room and like very in this industrial area, very kind of underground, if I can put it like that.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was awesome. I mean, like, that's the first real like jam space, you know, I've ever really played at, you know. All the times it's like in someone's garage or like, and it sounds shit, right?
Yeah.
And like, no, so that was sweet, you know.
So you actually enjoyed the acoustics and it was...
Yeah. You can finally start to hear what this is supposed to sound like.
Nice.
You know, some
nice.
Decent band practice. And
that's a very... thank you for the marketing tool. Cool. Continuing Nebula discussions, you guys brought out the EP, which came out last year, right?
Beginning of this year, I think.
Yes, I remember now. Okay,
like
cool.
Around March or somewhere.
Yeah. It was also interesting because in that period, I was also part of Dragoon's Anomaly, one of the bands I played for. So we had actually a lot to share, like working on getting the album done, getting this done.
Yes,
you were tuning
yes.
me about like missions. I was tuning you about missions.
Yeah, right.
You know, so we had definitely had a discussion point for a few months there. And I was I checked the amount of creativity, and not just creativity, but just of time and effort you pour into that EP. Like, you really did a shitload. Like, you drove a lot of days you drove into studio in Cape Town. Where did you guys record? Do you know the name of the studio?
Yeah, that's World's End Studios.
World's End Studios. Yeah. Okay. And that's with Llewellyn, right? Yeah. I think if I'm correct, he played for a band called My Shade. I'm not sure, but in my
days... I think so, yes.
In my days with Antipathy, we played with My Shade, and he was the singing drummer, actually, that time.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. If it's the same guy, I'm not sure, but pretty sure. Anyway, so, yeah, you really put in a lot of time and effort in the recording, and you are that guy. There's always a guy in the band that is kind of a driving musical force, and you are definitely the go-to guy in terms of you were kind of producing the EP, right? Like you had a lot of producing tasks at your hands.
Yeah.
So that being said, do you feel that you have kind of gotten satisfaction out of the release of the EP if you take into account all the effort and time you put in? Like, what is there a few things that you can tell me which kind of made it worth it for you?
Well, you know, this is like, I mean, obviously what I love to do, so I would, you know, any time I have, I would give towards it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. When we released it, I mean, there's like tapes in Russia being printed from it. I mean,
that's pretty amazing.
It's pretty cool, right? Like a few other guys kind of release it on their own stuff. And
you guys got quite a bit of overseas, like, reaction.
Yeah, well, I mean, the genre we play, like, mainly like black metal, death metal, is huge overseas, right? Mm. The whole, like... European countries, massive.
Mm.
So, especially like black metal, dude, they love it, right? Like,
can you name some current black metal bands that's like really doing well?
Who's really doing well is probably like, say, Vatain.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a quite extreme black metal band, and
I haven't heard of them.
Okay. Oh, you must check it out. It's like their whole vibe performance is like a. Well, they refer to it as like a ritual.
Okay.
So it's a lot more than just the music.
So it's more than choreography.
Yeah, it's like they are...
Choreography extreme.
What they believe in and what they, you know, what they stand for, that's what they do.
I see. So they're very true.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
To themselves and...
Say that name again?
Vatain.
Vatain. Yeah. Okay, interesting. How do you spell that?
It's a Vatain.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yes, okay. Sorry, sidetracked a bit. So we're speaking about like the success of the EP. So you guys have landed a few African metal top tens. So I think there's a bit more success to the EP than Rory is just a bit modest. I'm not talking about everything. But yeah, I mean, if somebody made tapes for you in Russia, I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah, I mean,
that?
That's pretty cool.
That is super awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
So basically what I get from what you said is that it's unconditional love you pour into the time and effort you pour into the music is not for necessarily getting success or getting something out of it. It's because it's your first love, it's your first passion. You anyway gonna do that. It doesn't matter if that EP, if no one listens to it, you're still gonna do it. You're gonna take pride in it.
Yeah. As long as we like it, you know? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anyway in South Africa, especially in a hard rock or in a metal context, you can't think of economics.
No,
it's not economics. So,
not at all.
So it's for the better if you do it with this unconditional love kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now the EP is done and all of that. But yeah, sorry. Actually, backtracking, so because we chronologically missed like a piece of your journey. So you actually studied music. You did a music degree, which very little people. I don't want to say stuff that I'm not fully sure of, but I think you are the second person No, you're the first person with a music degree. Talita also has a music degree, Talita Val, which was last week. But she didn't study it at varsity. So you actually did the varsity study. So how was it? What can you tell me about it?
I mean, it was intense.
Is it?
You know, like any study, like I think...
But I think music is more intense.
I mean, it was quite rough, yeah. The thing that sucks is that you have to... It's more than study. You have to actually play the instrument as well, right? And that, you know how much time that takes. So, like, I mean, when you got all these tests and assignments, exams, you don't really have time to practice. You know, so it's, I mean, you really have no free time while you're studying music. Yeah, so that's quite, yeah, it's quite rough.
And as far as I understand, the crit is pretty rough as well.
What's that?
The crit, like when you play a practical piece, you were saying now that you don't have a lot of time to practice, but then the teachers or the leerkrachten is like really hard on perfection. Tell me a bit about that. Like.
Oh no, dude, you got to be like high level, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least try to be, right? No, I mean, I remember like even some of the best dudes, you don't really get above like 85% for a practical exam.
Okay.
Which I don't know, it's like... there's probably a lot of reasons, but I mean, it's also subjective, you know. Mm-hmm. These people who are judging you, examiners, you know, they could be judging all differently, and you don't really know. So,
and like, I think what you're trying to say is the criteria, like because music is an art form and because it's a subjective thing, they kind of have this absolute. Criteria, but they can't because it's not so clear cut.
Exactly.
And this brings me to another interesting point, like being a musical graduate, do you feel that your ideas and your music is a bit boxed in? Because I know like some people say you're better off to not be classically trained because you can go wider, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, I suppose that's like just perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Check, if I say when I'm playing metal, right, I don't really use any of that theory. Mm. That's all just...
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it doesn't work in that theoretical concept.
You don't use it explicitly, but implicitly you kind of still use it, because it's there.
Well, maybe I'm thinking in my mind, just like notes-wise, but there's no real, like, I'm not thinking any kind of progressions or...
Okay.
It's very away from classical theory.
I see what you mean.
But... if I want to maybe like do some improvisation, then it's really great, right? Because, I mean, you just know the key, you know which modes, you know which scales, whatever.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, it allows you to do more, I think.
Okay, that's interesting.
If you use it right. Or yes. If you know.
And I also have to say that being a music graduate like you shows your extreme passion and love for music, because a lot of people would be put off by a music degree. A lot of people would actually then go and further something, another career, because doing a degree like that and having teachers, you know, not appreciating your exercise. I'm not saying that they're not appreciating your exercise, but you know what I mean? Like being so hard on you and not kind of let the creativity come out of you.
Yes.
Like, so you actually... very lucky that you are still pursuing music and that you didn't go like after your degree like, nah, fuck it, you know, I'm over this.
Yeah, no, a lot of people, I mean, they obviously lost that passion, maybe, I think.
Because of that,
Definitely. But that's just, you can't let that get you down. I mean, it's you go there to gain knowledge, right?
Exactly.
And to use that knowledge, yeah, so...
For
yourself.
Your benefit.
I mean, unless... there's obviously most of the people go, they want to become like the classical players. Mm. There's some guys who are now like world famous, you know, just by doing that.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, like I don't really play classical music. I play other stuff. Mm. So it's, yeah. It's,
okay. So off the topic of your degree, You're in a metal band, and you're the first one on this show that's in a South African metal band. So I would like to ask you, do you think that there's more people listening to metal nowadays than, say, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, there's definitely more listening now, you know? I think that's just in general, like... Well, yeah, I mean... You mean year, like in South Africa? And
well, just in general. In South Africa?
In general, but definitely, because, I mean, say, like, the big metal bands, they're getting huge now, right? Like, massive shows and
that's really
huge festival.
You see, this is things I don't know, because I'm not so involved in, like, the overseas metal.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, like, overseas, definitely, like, huge festivals, and there's constantly stuff going on there, you know?
Mm.
So, in that sense, definitely, metal is, it's pretty big now.
Yeah.
It's good. It's cool.
In local context, you don't think the same, or
it's definitely getting more. I mean, there's now, we'll say, like, Witch Doctor, and they make, like, some big shows, you know?
But obviously, we're a few years behind.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, well, there's just, like, I mean, say, in South Africa, there's there's obviously not enough people into metal to do it huge and to do it constantly, you know?
Which brings me to the next point. There is definitely, like, for me personally, I observe it, there's definitely more people getting into metal. And this is maybe an interesting question that we can ask Patrick Davison, one of the co-founders from Metal for Africa. He might be a good oak to, maybe
definitely.
We must get him on here as well. I think you can't really talk a lot about South African metal without mentioning Patrick's name.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, and just a little trivial backstory. Maybe I'm going ahead again, but Patrick actually started Metal for Africa in I think it was around 27, and how he started it was his car got stolen, and he got some money from the insurance, and the money wasn't enough to buy a new car, and he's like, fuck, I can't buy a new car with this money, but what I can do is I can start a metal fest.
Yeah, that's cool, know? Right?
How rough Jeez. Is that? It's super dude. Admirable.
Yeah, know? Definitely.
Anyway, sidetracking again. Do you feel now thinking that there's more people listening to metal in the local scene, but now I still see that Roar is kind of the only metal venue in the Western Cape. Is there other metal venues?
There's a few other venues where we can play, like, now and again.
I mean, you can play now and again at Nameless, maybe.
Yes.
You can play maybe. Well, I don't know where's the new Metal for Africa. Where's it been?
Somewhere in Bellville.
Bellville, Brackenfell. Okay, but that's just like a venue, events venue. It's not a bar.
No.
So maybe you guys sometimes play at Mercury.
Yes, Mercury. There's like rarely in On Class.
Yes, that's cool, true. Well. That's true. You have to mention On Class. Yeah.
Yeah, because those always On Class pretty cool because there's like Jens Salambosch, you know. So a lot of people who's not into metal, they don't even know it's a metal gig. They just rock up then. And they enjoy it, you know, it's awesome.
The cool thing about Antlers, it's an interesting point, is you get walk-ins, like you just
yes. said.
Like, with Mercury, you don't really get walk-ins.
No.
It's an events venue. A lot of other venues, you don't really get. Roar, same thing, it's events.
Like, you don't get metal gigs, so you go there.
Yeah, you don't get walk-ins. It's not random people, just like locals hanging at Roar. You know, they hang downstairs at Gandalf's, but not Roar.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, cool. So what do you think, well, maybe it's a stupid question, but still there's a lack of venues, but there is more people listening to metal. What do you think? Can you actually identify a problem here?
I don't know. Well, there's a few others, like, I know this band place. We've been, never played there before, but other bands, yeah, they jam there. I don't know. It's just, you know, you also have to think maybe about the bands themselves, you know. You can't really play like every weekend in maybe this like small area, you know.
Also, there's a lot of bands, so you can't play every weekend because all the other bands also needs to play.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of like newer bands coming up, you know.
Yeah.
So that's I suppose helping. They maybe like metal mixed with something else, and they get into other venues, and that opens up.
But I think you kind of drawing my attention to something here. I think the problem is not metal venues. I don't think we should talk about metal venues. We should talk about venues that actually do everything, that allows rock, allows metal. I actually think it's...
Because that's the thing, the venue has to do a few other different stuff, you know, I think that old Eye of Horus place.
Yes, yes.
That was like a metal place, right?
Yeah.
It was awesome. But it was just metal, and maybe that's why they, you know, like...
It's a niche.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting to is maybe it's better to to have it open, maybe it's better for the metal scene and for the rock scene to have more diverse venues like Antlers, like Mercury, yeah, where metal bands can actually come in and where rock bands can come in and where there might be hybrid lineups.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. Like, that's important. You need that sometimes for the bit bigger gigs, you need to have some diversity going on there, you know?
Yeah. So do you, in the same vein, I want to ask you, are you cool with like more rockish bands getting onto the bill at Metal for Africa, like Juggernaut played, and like there's a few other examples, Haggis and Bong, stuff that's not like strictly metal?
Well, yeah, that's awesome, right? Like, yeah. And
you feel it's better for the industry?
Yeah. I mean, everyone needs, you need to listen to some other stuff as well, you know?
Open your mind.
To be honest, like, if you got like 10 metal bands straight off to each other, maybe it gets a bit overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
Well, just the live sound, because it's always so loud and that, but, you know, we've played many gigs where we get some, like, some newer bands come open for us, and like, you know, sometimes they're more, maybe like even indie, stuff like that, you know? So,
Okay, jumping topic again. We talked about tunes now, and Nebula starting out of tunes, and then I mentioned something of running the conversation ahead, and now I'm picking up that again. How can I put this to you? We working together, our relationship with regards to work kind of developed over a period of time. You started giving me lifts whenever Nebula had a booking and I asked you to pick me up or to drop me off afterwards. Then it kind of developed into, because I checked, you were very helpful and you're very willing to help out, and it developed into we actually developing a lift system where I pay you to drive me around and you do some tasks. That developed into you starting to give lessons at Notes Music School, which is a branch of Tunes at Paul Bothner Music Stellenbosch, where drums, guitar, bass and keyboard lessons are being presented. That branched into you taking care of Tunes when I go on tour and stuff. So how is there anything that you would like to add to this? Because it was very natural that relationship kind of unfold. How did you experience that? Was it
pretty much the same, you know? You know, yeah, just like so led into that. It's cool.
Was it interesting for you starting to work with like with me? Is there anything that you found interesting in that regard?
I think we work well together, you know, and also like you're always on it, you know, you're gunning and like all the stuff. So that's, you know, it's good. And
you mean it kind of gives you it kind of psych you up in a certain way to
You know, obviously like kind of rubbed off, you know, that's good. And like
definitely. So do you tell me a bit more? Okay, we've mentioned now that you present or that you teach guitar lessons at Notes Music School.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for lessons? What do you teach people in lessons? Like, what's the most stuff? Talk a bit about your lessons and like how you approach the lesson plan.
Well, okay, yeah, that mainly depends on like what the student wants, right?
Okay.
Most people just want to learn songs, okay? But I like to teach a lot of technique as well, because I mean, if you have the technique down, you can pretty much play like what you wanted then, you know, if you got the really good foundation. And yeah, so I mean, I really enjoy that. I mean, like teaching has made me really go practice that foundation again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so yeah, it just makes you more solid, more tight, more.
That's the important thing I want to take out of this, that is teaching actually betters your own skill,
definitely,
your own craft. Like,
because I mean, there's so much stuff you don't really think of to yourself. You know, maybe you unconsciously know about it, but once you consciously think about it, then you really start to incorporate it into your practice and your, you know, like your technique. And
like I checked sometimes when I have to teach little ones some stuff very slow, then I catch myself and like, I can't really play this that
right.
slow. I can play it faster, but I can't really play it this slow. And it actually made me going back to the drawing board and start practicing paradiddles and stuff slower.
Exactly.
Know? Because it's actually more difficult playing stuff slow than it is playing it is stuff fast.
Playing to a slow tempo as well is tricky, right? Like,
yep. Very, very tricky. I definitely checked that when I recorded stuff for Mark's old band, Shotgun Wedding. They had quite slow songs, and I went into studio, and it was the first time I played such slow stuff in studio. I'm like, damn, this is actually difficult.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Really more tricky than you think.
Yeah, but yeah. Sorry, did you still want to say something? Or did I?
About the lesson stuff.
Yes.
I don't know, it's really helpful, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, then again, teaching people songs.
Yeah.
That just teaches you, you just learn the songs for yourself.
Because you never learn that country song or that pop song by yourself.
Exactly, you know? Right? Especially like the pop stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Never really been into it.
Mm.
But, hey, it's not, I mean, the musical structure is good.
Mm.
You know, it's like that for a reason.
You can appreciate that.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, like the simplicity of it, definitely. And, yeah.
Also, now talking stuff, doing stuff that generates income. What other stuff do you do to generate income? I know there's some other stuff you are into.
Well, I do like the sound engineering stuff on the side, right? There's pretty much just like some mixing and stuff here and there.
For like voiceover stuff, or what's the?
Yeah, mainly like that and.
People reading books.
Yeah, and a few people just like jamming some acoustic guitar or some,
okay.
You know, like that. I pretty much like, because I got the diploma in sound engineering before I studied. And that was pretty much just for myself, so I can really focus on my own music, you know.
And you record a hell of a lot of stuff by yourself at home. Like, that's all you do.
that's my free time. If I have.
So it works really nice like that as well.
Yeah. You know, I just, I love to create music and it flows really fast, so I need to get it out.
Yes.
You know?
And then you got to hit record.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just got to sit and do it.
Nice. Other stuff? Is there any other stuff you do for income?
Yeah, like I do other... my other project band is a guy, Matthias.
Yes.
Right? So we do a lot of like background music.
Okay.
Which is really cool. And he's also like an amazing guitarist, you know, like plays a lot of the flamenco stuff, that kind of style. And... yeah, so we do like a lot of covers.
Yeah,
pretty much
pop covers.
Pop covers like, and the like the old, what do you call like the golden oldies? You know,
yeah,
that stuff. So we got the best of both there.
And is the band or the group still called Titan?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Titan started out like a weird vibe. You were shredding the shit out the whole time, and Matthias was just going flamenco style, like Rodrigo Gabriela type vibes. Well, that's my only reference point, but it's like kind of the vibe. There's obviously a lot of other stuff, but that's my reference point. But yeah, that kind of branched into, and that was amazing. I mean, that was not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
And also to be very honest, it was difficult to listen to it for very long.
Exactly.
But that kind of branched into, you guys started doing the covers, and you did amazing stuff with that. There's some really cool recordings on SoundCloud with you guys doing like odd covers, like the most poppest stuff ever. It's so weird.
That's right, bro. Exactly.
So that also shows off a characteristic of your music love, is that you can really go deep and wide.
That stuff, I mean, we really enjoy playing that. You know, it's really fun. I mean, we'll check. Like, he also studied, right? The whole degree thing.
That's musical degree,
We met.
Yes.
And we were both into, like, shred guitar at that point, right? We still are, but, you know, like... So we just wanted to see how far we can get technically ourselves. And so we just were like shredding and playing crazy stuff. And we loved it, you know. But yeah, so that went into the whole like the covers, background stuff. And I mean, I you know, I love metal, right? And that stuff, I love playing that. It's a total different thing. I mean, from a guitarist's point of view, now I can really play slow and I can play with like a lot of feeling and emotion and... you know, nice vibe and like...
yeah, so it's almost if...
it's a good balance.
Yeah, so it's almost if playing the pop stuff makes your creativity tighter, to use slang like that, when you go into the metal mode again.
Oh yeah, check, I mean...
and vice versa.
Yes, right? Like, I know the pop structure has helped a lot, you know, to make like metal tunes more structured in a way that people will enjoy.
That's very interesting.
Right, and... yeah, I mean, both for me, it's like it's almost equal. I just love playing, you know. Anything like that I enjoy playing is gonna be awesome.
That's probably why we also get along, because it's definitely the same with me. I just enjoy playing. Like I'll pretty much play anything.
Yeah, you know? And I mean that's also especially for like if you're doing both. Mm. Say like the pop stuff, it's a lot easier to play just because it's slower. I mean, not in the tempo sense, but
yes,
technique wise.
Yes, yes.
You know, and then I can go do metal and just like. You know, kill it.
Completely lose your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So, also, talking about losing your shit, like, you're a really well performer. Like, you give it your all. When you play a metal show the next day, like, you are...
You suffer, dude.
Like, you man down. Like, your neck is sore. Yeah.
Got to exercise for that one.
Yeah. So, like... How do you, because it's almost like the stage is a battlefield. Like, how do you, tell me a bit about getting into that space.
Well, dude, this is, I mean, like, say performing metal, I love doing that. Yeah. It's just the pure intensity and it's there's quite a lot of adrenaline. Mm. You know, you feel it. Like,
because there's stuff flowing through you.
Oh, yeah, dude. That, I mean, that, the, what do you say?
You're like a wire taking a current somewhere. You know? Like
just gunning it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I think, I mean, if you're going to play metal and you get on stage, you need to perform. This is like extreme music.
Yes.
You can't like, you need to bring it forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a different thing with like a band like Tool. I know James Maynard Keenan, he's the vocalist of Tool. He says that his vibe is, he gets it from standing still. He just stands dead still.
Well, check, there's one guy I know, like the singer of Gorgoroth, okay? Mm-hmm. This dude doesn't headbang or nothing, he stands still, but his presence is overwhelming, like power. So he's the only dude who I can check doing that.
By just standing still?
Yeah. You just feel power from him, dude. Like,
that's amazing.
But no, for us, we gotta, you know, you really gotta put it all you have into that, you know? Yeah.
Talking about Nebula again, is there any future plans that you can or want to talk about? Any gigs coming up? Anything that you can plug from Nebula's side?
Well, yeah, we're writing some new stuff now.
Some awesome new stuff. Yeah, we heard it the other day.
Nice.
Sounding great.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. We have a gig, I think, 11th November.
Cool. At Roar?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Do you know the bands you're playing with?
That's Megalodon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're playing with them.
We must still, that's another person we must get on here. Right. Get all two of us on here.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. Yeah, they were just in like Germany and stuff.
Yes. Balkan. Pretty sick. Shit. How well are they doing now? Like
that's crazy, right?
They played in 1 year, cranked up. Wagen, they played Metal for Africa. There was one other big show they did as well. Can't remember now, but yeah, I know they're doing really well.
Very much. So the gig we're playing, the gig's actually this band Creating the God Form.
Oh, yes, that's the other 8-string band.
One of those like,
for the listeners,
deep tunes and...
Yeah, for the listeners, Megalodon uses 8-string guitars, and I think, if I'm correct, Creating the God Form is one of the bands that kind of... took that thing further. They also took up the 8-string vibe.
Yeah. So this is their album launch, okay. I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and there's another band, Bottom Feeder.
Okay. Also heard of them before, huh?
Yeah. So I think it's just us four.
Okay.
And it's going to be a sick gig. Yeah.
Is there any other exciting metal bands that you can think of now that's coming out of the local scene?
Metal bands. Well, I mean, there's a lot. I'm going to say some and then maybe others are not like...
Yeah, no. Obviously, it's hard to single out. And also, you're looking at a subjective point.
Yes, very subjective.
But...
For me personally, like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say this band, Fallen Prophets,
mm-hmm.
like a heavy death metal.
Nice.
You know, they're sick. And Devil Speak, also like a thrash band.
Yeah, I'm still going.
So they're also like making waves, you know, like
cool.
Really gunning it.
Nice.
And obviously, you know, like the Belvedere band.
Yeah.
They also, I mean, they're playing overseas and like
that's
huge really shows
crazy.
And.
Like you told me the other day, they're doing more overseas stuff now than local stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, that's high level. They had a really a different game plan when they started the band, which really paid off for them. So.
Okay. Yeah, like just maybe not a different game plan, but maybe a game plan.
Yeah. Right.
Like I think a lot of people, and I include myself here in some projects, just started projects without a game plan, and that's fine. You don't need to always have a game plan. It depends what you're after.
Yeah.
And it kind of brings me to my next question. Bottom line is that they just had a really well thought out marketing and game plan with what they do with the music. Like, to put it in perspective, I think he told me the other day they had like 3 albums out before they even played live, you know.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
Like, really, yeah. Crafting the sound, really getting to the core of what they want to do before they started gigging.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if you do that, now you can say like market all over the world.
Exactly.
With that album, you know, already really good quality and all that.
And
so.
And I mean, it looks better if you have 2 albums than only 1.
Exactly, so. Right, yeah.
Look at this band. Wow, they already have 3 albums. They must be something.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
As opposed to a band only having 1 album.
And you know, like say we start playing locally, you know,
mm-hmm.
building that fan base where they literally just went for like the world's fan base.
Yes.
Kind of, so.
Either go out or go.
Right.
That brings me to my next point of discussion is, what for you would define success as a metal band in our very small metal industry here at the tip of the southern hemisphere?
Success. Well, that's, I mean, subjective to the person.
But I mean, if we look at some stories, like let's take a cliche story like Mind Assault. I mean, they've gotten pretty far, as if you think about opening for Lamb of God, playing Opikopi, playing
they're also in Romania.
They played Romania. They've brought out 3 or 4 albums, and they definitely played stages where they took metal out of the metal boot camp, so to speak. Like they played right in front of the Narrow when they played Opikopi.
Okay.
I can't remember which year it was, maybe 2013, 2014. I would like it if somebody that listens actually know the date and maybe can enlighten us on it. But I mean, for me, they, as far as local metal go, they pretty much took it to the next level. I mean, only opening for Lamb of God is pretty sick.
That's already sick, right?
That's ridiculous. Jesus. So, yeah, from your point of view, success doesn't need to be opening for Lamb of God. Success can be something much smaller. But what for you is success?
Well, I suppose I've like 2 types of success for myself.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I'm already like successful just that I can do what I want, and
yes,
I'm, you know, I'm able to create, you know. And
that's a very interesting point you're touching there. So that's also shows off a characteristic of you, and which is you're a very humble, modest dude. So it kind of ties into that, like a modest, humble dude would say, like, first part of my success is to being able to do what I want to do, you know.
Sorry, yeah, I mean, you know, elaborate? Just like, it's like, as soon as you make or record a tune, that's success to me already. Even if no one hears it, I just, if I love it, I'm like, yo, that's, you know, just being able to do that.
Sure.
But and then
the other part
is like world fame, dude. Like, okay. I mean, you know, just, I want to experience like those massive festivals, those massive stages and all that goes along with it, you know, like, you know, I want to hang out with everyone and like,
just experience, be part of that vibe.
Yeah.
Like, if I can put it into perspective, it, like somebody listening to it, I don't know, might feel like, oh, that's a bit weird. Like, when I hang out with that people, and like, but it's not, because that's what you. That's like, if I can put one of my own examples in here, when we went to Zeerkunst, the New Year's party. It's a very secluded, private New Year's party of South African blues and also Afrikaans musicians, which I got invited to. I was very lucky. I didn't really got invited to it. I kind of made friends with Jessica Buta, Pete's daughter, and we started working together and stuff. And I kind of asked her, listen, nice. Jessica, can I actually come to this party? And she was like, yeah, cool, man. Let's Sick. Get you a ticket. So to put it in perspective, I didn't want to leave Ziegens because to me, it was so crazy. Like Albert Frost coming from the beach and it's like, yeah, man, the waves is pretty solid for a surf, you know,
like
just awesome random vibe. Yeah, awesome vibe, just random encounters with like these legends. I was like, fuck, man, I don't want to leave this place. Man. Like, I just want to stay here. You know?
That's sick.
So that's putting that into perspective. But would you... So now you get to play Wagen. Would you define that as success?
I mean, totally. I mean, the second level of success, like I'm talking about, is that to be able to do it constantly.
Yes.
I mean, touring, like, constantly, you know, like, yeah, as much as possible, you know, just forwarding everything as much as possible.
Would you sacrifice, I know metal is your first love and your first passion, but would you not sacrifice, that's the wrong word. I mean, you can still play metal, but would you join a rock band to actually... being able to fulfill that dream, say now that rock band tours the country or maybe tours overseas, would you do that?
Of course, if I love the music the same, yeah. I mean, I love you rock, would. So like...
Yeah, so you would not see it as selling out or selling your soul, you know?
No, like, I mean, what is... How can you sell out if you enjoy doing it?
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's like a lot of people who, you know, they laugh if you say you play some pop stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool musically, right? So...
Yeah.
I mean,
it's at the end of the day, it still makes you smile. Like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just that feeling, you know, and I mean, it's kind of also like different what you're playing. Say if I was playing rock, I would do more solos maybe, which I love doing, right? Mm. If I'm playing metal, then it's just more intensity, which I love the same. And it's,
Is there anything that you feel we didn't cover? Anything that we still need to talk? We stopped a bit at Varsity Jams. Was there any other bands or jams that you've had before that you want to elaborate on?
I don't know. Like, I really haven't jammed with, like, too many bands.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of chose what I like and tried to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But in general, do you feel we've covered everything? Is there something you want to elaborate on?
Geez, I don't know. Like,
you feel
it's pretty cool.
You feel it's, like, you've spoken your mind.
If it's decent, it's cool.
Nice. Lekker, man. I think on this note, we'll say cheers. And
Shot for having me, dude. That's awesome.
It was a pleasure, and it was awesome to actually have the first metal musician on here. It was really great. Nice. Thanks, dude.
Cool.
Thanks dat julle tot hier gevorder / geluister het in die interview. Nou weet julle bietjie meer van die Suid-Afrikaanse metal industrie. Rory is die eerste musikant op hierdie show wat in 'n metal band speel. So ja, gaan check bietjie van Nebula Disrupt uit. Hulle is nogal ekstreem. As jy into baie ekstreem metal music is, dan is daai definitief jou ding. Nou weet ons ook 'n bietjie meer van hoe ek en Rory mekaar leer ken het en die interessante paadjie wat ons geloop het, dat hy so half vanselfsprekend net die tweede in bevel by Tune Studio geraak het. Dit is nogals baie interessant. Dit is 'n interessante ding om te sê, die tweede in bevel. Ek dink nou net daaraan, dis amper asof as ek nou sê nou maar die eerste in bevel is, wie beveel my dan? Dan is dit so half asof die groter hand van Tune Studio of die groter hand van die Suid-Afrikaanse musiekindustrie beveel my. Dis nogals interessant. Dis interessant waar mense brein, wat se afdraai paadjies in mense brein vat met hierdie goeters. Anyway, julle hoef jy verder te luister na my ramblings of probeer sla om goeders te ontdek nie. Gaan uit en gaan luister na Nebula Disrupt en ek wil julle weer net herinner in die outro ook, koop julle kaartjies vir Endless Days Festival. Dis by Silverstroom Resort. Dis 'n baie, baie cool festival. Dis die tweede jaar wat hulle dit hou. Baie exciting. Dis exciting dat daar nuwe festival rolspelers in die scene is. So support it. Die kaartjies is regtig van die duur nie as 'n mens kyk na die na hoe baie musiek daar is. En ja, alhoewel hulle fokus op psych rock, is daar ook ander branches van rock beskikbaar vir die musiekliefhebber palet op daai naweek. So geniet. Cheers.